Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Batra Daf Samech Hey Amud Aleph. And although this looks like a large stretch, the next piece we're going to do will cover two daf. It really is not all that long and is mainly a tangent on an issue relating to Mikvaot. But the Mishnah Gimel, HaMocher Tabayit Machar Tadalet Valoet HaMafteach. So somebody sells a house, again going back to that theme of the first two Mishnayot, the door is sold but not the key. Machar Tamachteshet Kvua Valoet HaMiteltelet. So a fixed mortar that's used for grinding spices is sold, but not one that's portable. Macharta itzterobil, which is the base of a mill. Avaloata kelet. The kelet is the sieve, the top part of the mill. Veloata tanur veloata kiraim, and not an oven or stove. Bisman shamarlo hu v'chumashe betocho. But if you said in the deal, I'm selling you the house and everything in it, all its contents, harikulan v'churin, all of these things, all the aforementioned, are sold as well. The basic rule here seems to be that anything that is part of the house or sort of built in or permanent fixture in the house is included, and anything which is peripheral or shall we say mobile and portable to the house is not. Gemara, lema matnitin l'kor meir. So the first piece that we do is to compare the ruling of this Mishnah with a ruling of Reb Meir and see if Reb Meir could, quote-unquote, live with our ruling, live with the Mishnah. We think that our Mishnah does not work with Rameir. Why? We learn later on in the fifth parak that Rameir said, in a bright that's quoted there, that if you sell a vineyard, along with that comes all of the appurtenances and vessels that are related to the vineyard. And so it sounds like Rameir would say that all of the appurtenances that are related to the house should come along, whether they are permanent or not. And so we attempt to respond to this by saying the following. Filutam Rameir, perhaps Rameir could live with our Mishnah. Hatam kviya hachalo kviya. All of the tashmishi hakerem are fixed into the ground. Here, they're not, the things that we're talking about. V'hamafteach tumi adela ketani. And kavua, by the way, here doesn't mean fixed. It also means these are things that are permanent, and as opposed to the things here. But that's not true. Why? V'hamafteach tumi adela ketani. We have the door on one hand, and on the other hand, the key, which is not sold with it, and ma dela tekviya afmafteach tekviya, just like the door is fixed and part of the house, similarly the key. And nonetheless, the key doesn't go along with it. So we have to come to the conclusion that we started out with, which is that our Mishnah does not accord with Rameir. Rameir could not agree with the principle of an Mishnah. Now, Tana Rabbanan, a Braita that parallels our Mishnah, but the important piece of the Braita is that it introduces the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Mocharta bait macharta delet v'ata neger, which is a hinge or a door bolt, v'ata manol the lock, v'alom v'ata mafteach, like we said, macharta v'achtesh l'chakuka v'alom v'ata kfuah. Alright, this position of the Braita says that a machteshet, which is engraved in, carved in, is sold, but not one that's sitting there permanently. Machar ha'itzderobil avalo etakelet, same deal with the mill that our position of our Mishnah. Lo etatanur, lo etakirayim, velo etarechayim. Okay. Now, Rabbi Eliezer omer, kol mechubar lakarka, reyoka karka. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says, whatever is fixed into the ground is part of the ground, and therefore goes along with the house. So therefore he would say that machtesha takvua that's in the ground would go along with it. Now, bisman shamar lo v'chom shatocha, rein kolam nuchurin, just like the Mishnah said, pein kach v'en kach lo machar lo atabor, v'lo atadut, v'lo atayetziah. This comes now back to Mishnah Bet, Mishnah Aleph. But our concern here is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, who says, kol mechuba lakarka kakarka, anything that's attached to the ground is like the ground, and therefore will go along with the house. Now, that's all brought because of this tangent. Tana Rabbanan. Tzinor shechakakol vasof kva'o. So one quick preface to this is a halacha that we learn in Masechet Mikvaot, and that is that when you have water for a mikvah, the water has to be made geshamim. We're talking about a regular mikvah, not a mayan. It has to be rainwater. And it cannot be maim shuvim, and that cannot be drawn water. It makes something drawn water. So classically, you take water from one place with some sort of a pail and pour it somewhere else. But what happens if you have a pipe that allows rainwater to just pour down from a roof or something and come down into your mikvah? That should not be considered maim shuvim. Well, we'll see. Sinor shechaka kol vasof kva'o, if you first hollow out a pipe and then you stick it into the building or the rock, whatever it is, then posal tamikvah. Then that's considered mayim shuvim. Kva'o vasof chaka kol, but if first you stuck it in, let's say a piece of metal you stuck into the wall and then you carved it out, eno posal tamikvah. That is not. Now, mani, who could the author of that ruling be? Lo Rabbi Eliezer, v'lo Rabbanan. The statement that accompanies that brayta is it's not Rabbi Eliezer, it's not Rabbanan, we've got to look for somebody else. We're not going to try to find somebody else yet. We're just going to try to figure out how do they know it's not Rabbi Eliezer. Hey, Rabbi Eliezer, so now we ask, which opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is it that we know of that tells us that Rabbi Eliezer couldn't be the author of that ruling about the mikvah? Elim Rabbi Eliezer to buy it, if you think it's Rabbi Eliezer that we just invoked in our brayta about the house, then that may be for a whole different reason. Could be the Rabbi Eliezer takes the same position that later on his student Rabbi Akiva takes, which is that when you sell generously, and therefore you're selling all the things connected to the ground. And Chacham say, no, you sell narrowly. And it might have nothing to do with his position on Karka. Now, here's the issue. In the Breita that we just saw about the mikvah, said that if you first fixed it in there, then then that means that and then you made the hole, then it's not Mayim Shuvim. But if you made the hole and then fixed it in, it is. Rabbi Eliezer, according to what we saw, should say in either case it's Kikarka and it's not Mayim Shuvim. And Rabbanan should say in either case it is Mayim Shuvim because neither way is it like Karka. And so we're arguing that proves that Rabbi Eliezer could not be the author because Rabbi Eliezer holds that whatever is mechubel karka is kakarka. But maybe Rabbi Eliezer only says that vis-a-vis commerce and not inherently. So therefore, let's try something else. Rabbi Eliezer to kaver dvorim. Rabbi Eliezer says this about an apiary. Non. This is a mishnah in Uksim. It's also mentioned in Shvi'it. Kaver dvorim. What about a beehive or an apiary? Rabbi Eliezer mehariu kakarka. If it's connected to the ground, it's part of ground called Vina La Prusbul, therefore, and this is why it's in Shvit, if you need to write a Prusbul, and you, of course, can only write Prusbul on, if you own land, then this Kaveret is good enough. V'enem Kabbalah Tumah B'mkoma, and it's not Mekabbalah Tumah as long as it's in its place, because it's considered part of the ground. V'ahro Odem Menem B'Shabbat, but if you take honey out of it on Shabbat, Chayav Chatat, you're Chayav, because that's Tolesh from the ground. You'll like, cutting something, anything else out of the ground. Chachom disagree, and they say, Eina kakarka, that a kaveret is not like that. Ein kot vina la pruzbul, makal tum komav, or demen b'shabbat patur. They take the opposite position. All right, so therefore we would think, aha, there we see that Rabbi Eliezer is of the position that anything that's connected to the ground is like the ground, and therefore he should permit water coming through this pipe either way. The fact that that breita does not permit water that goes through the pipe, if the pipe was first hollowed out, proves it can't be Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is no. That is a unique halacha about beehives. Hatam can remember Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar Tama. Rabbi Lazar, the later Tana says, then Rabbi Lazar, my Tama de Rabbi Eliezer, it could be Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat the Amora, says, what is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus' reason for saying that the Kaveret is different? This is when Yonatan is out at war and he doesn't know that his father Shaul has made the oath that no one can eat anything, and he dips the end of his staff into a beehive and eats a little bit of honey, and suddenly his eyesight gets better and he gets strength. Famous scene in Perek Yudalad of Shmuel Aleph. But it says Ya'arat HaDvash. Now Ya'arat HaDvash means the beehive. But the word Ya'ar also means a forest. My Ya'ar, it's Leishman HaMashavad Chayav Chata, just like a tree that's in a forest. If you pluck something off it, you're Chayav. Av dvash, or demen b'shabbat chayav chatat, same thing with dvash. In other words, the pasuk puts yar and dvash together to tell you that the honeycomb, or the beehive really, should be considered like a tree. Unique halacha doesn't tell you anything about Rabbi Eliezer's general position about karka. Ella, where's the answer? Rabbi Eliezer didaf. Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah in Kelim, about a baker's board, which almost all Rishonim understand is the board that the baker uses to knead his dough on, but some believe that it may be actually the board that he sets up in order to put the bread out to sell it to people. Now, none. Daf shel nachtomin, shekva'o bakotel, if he fixed it into the wall, attached to the wall, Rebbe Eliezer Metaher. Rebbe Eliezer says Tahor. Why? Because he says now it's like part of the house. It's karka. Chum matamin. So now, based on this information, Mani, who is the author of the Mikvaot piece? E Rebbe Eliezer Afidachakol Basof Kvao. Rebbe Eliezer should allow the water, even if you carved it out and put it in, and then attached it, because it's like karka. E Rabbanon Afidu Kvao Basof Hakakol Nami. But if it's the Rabbanon, then even if you put it in and then carved it out, it should still be no good, because the Rabbanon will say in any case it's metaltalin. Which means that between Rebbe Eliezer and Eliezer and Rabbanon, which we assume now is all the possible opinions around, nobody could be the author of the Praita of Mikvaot. So we got to find it in one of their positions. So the answer that we first give is Leolam Rebbe Eliezer. He really the mikvah ruling is Rebbe Eliezer. And why then is he more lenient when it comes to the daf shel nachtumin? V'shani pshutei kleitz, because a daf we assume is wood, and it's flat wood, meaning with no receptacle, no dip in it. And pshutei kleitz is tumah derabanan. Since all of pshutei kleitz is tumah derabanan, therefore he's lenient. If you put it into the wall, it's not makabel tumah at all. But that means mechlal d'sheiva d'oraita. Then we have to infer that the invalidity of mayim sheuvim is d'oraita. Because that's why he would be strict if you first carved it out and then fixed it in, if he's the author of that. Makaimalan Durabanan. And we hold the position that Shiva is Durabanan. Viod Hamar of Yossi Bar Chanina, Bedaf Shomatachat Machloket. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said that that dispute in Kalim about the baker's board is about a board even of metal, which means it's not a metal. Pshutei Kleimatchot certainly are to have Tumah Doraita. So therefore, we can't say it's Rebbe Eliezer, and he's lenient about the daf because Darabanan, because here's talking about a Doraita. So therefore, we see that Rebbe Eliezer holds as a matter of law that once something is attached to the wall, it's Kakarka, and therefore he should allow the water in that mikveh in either case. He cannot be the author. So therefore, we say Leolam Rabbanan, he really the author of the Braita in Mikvaot is the Rabbanan. V'shani Sheiva Darabanan, and the answer is that they are lenient. Really, they would say that anything is shuvim. Once you fix it, even though you fixed it in, doesn't help. But if you first put it in and then carved it out, since the psul of Sheiva is Darabanan, like we just said, they're lenient. So Yahachi Afilchakol Basof Kvao Nami. But if Sheiva is Darabanan, we're going to be lenient. So let's be lenient, even if you carved it out first and put it in, where we said they're not lenient. Answer: Shani Atam Deikatart Kli Alav Batalush. There, once, while you had the pipe and you carved it out before you put it in, it's already got a din of a kli. There, they're not going to be lenient. But when you just put this piece of wood into the hole and didn't have a kli, and then you carved it out, it's already in the karka, so they'll be lenient because Shiva's the rabbanon. Okay. Bar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the following question: Meg Shamim Shachishav Alehem Hadiach Taitzrublin. Now, here's the kicker. We say the Itzrublin, the base of the mill, we said is kakarka. Or is permanent part of the house. Let's say that it's raining, and you think, oh, what a wonderful thing, it's going to wash my itzterublin. Mahu lizraim. Do we say that if that water then glances off and hits some fruit, that fruit is now mukshalatuma? What is the issue? When something gets wet, and it was lerotzon, it was something you intended, and when you were happy it got wet, it's as if you wet it yourself, that's fine. The only thing that only applies to metaltalin, not to karka. So if Yosef said as follows, according to Rebbe Eliezer, who says anything connected to the ground is like the ground, and this mill is connected to the ground, I'm not asking the question, it's clearly not makshu l'tuma, it's nothing, it's like being happy that it got your house wet, nothing. I'm only asking according to the Rabbanan, da amri enu kakarku, who said something connected to the ground is not necessarily considered a ground, and therefore what do we do with these drubal in mind? The answer is teku, we don't know. Now we have a ruling, Shalach, again supporting the idea that this is the rublin is part of the karka. Shalach le'rav Nechemi b'reidu of Yosef, le'rav b'reidu of Huna, zuti le'nahardea. You got this message to Nahardea. Ki atyach ita talakamach. When a particular woman comes to you, and she's coming to collect her 10% of the husband's estate for food, for whatever purposes, she could be a daughter, etc. Agba isur nichsi afil misterubla derichaim. You could even use the guy's mill and sell it and use that to pay her off, because that's considered karka, and she can only collect from karka. Rashi kavina berav kahana. So when we were in berav kahana's base medrash, magbina afilu me'amla debatli. We would even collect from the husband from the husband's estate from his income from rentals. because that's also karka. After all, the rentals are rentals of a house, and that is karka, and therefore we would accept it. So we see a broad range of what we understand to be karka. Okay, we'll stop at this point. Pick it up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.